Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you, do some research, go to websites, look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Listeners to City on the Hill Radio Show, we are so thankful that you have tuned in. And as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the nation and even the world to come and listen with us. Come learn with us. And today we have a very, very special show. But to start off, I would like to turn the program over to our historian teacher, Miss Barbara Moore, to give us a little bit of history, Miss Barbara.
I'd like to bring the history today from the book of James. I was praying about our program today, and the Lord quickened James chapter 2 to me, and I want to share that to begin with. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. And I thought about all the children, particularly in our country, the war that's being waged against our children with our culture of decay and death. And so many stumbling blocks are being put in front of our children. And have we said to them, well, we're praying for you. We're praying for you. And we do. And we sincerely pray for our children. Do we leave it there? Are we actively involved in determining policy that our children will be affected by? Those institutions that have such great influence over our culture, education, media, you know, we're seeing the war that's against them, and yet, are we doing everything we can as the body of Christ, as Christians, to protect them and to change it for them? So that's kind of where I'm coming from, and I want to say what a privilege it is, though, to have such an array of guests today. And I'm just so grateful because the men of God, the pastors over the flocks, I recognize that every good thing that has ever taken place in the history of the world has been by those that are God's people that God has raised up, and every bit of protection for the dignity and value and worth of human beings, human life created in God's image and likeness, have been by the body of Christ and God's people throughout all history. So what a privilege it is to have our guests with us today. Thank you.
Oh, what a privilege indeed, Ms. Barbara. And Pastor Tom, you've been on with us just about every month, so we're so grateful to have you on. So if you don't mind, sir, would you ask the Lord to bless this proceeding?
I'll do that. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity, for the time to share what we believe is biblical concepts and try to deal with them in a godly manner. We pray for a great awakening of the churches, and first of all, in the pulpits, that pastors would become aware that we are the ones that are the wall watchers. And Lord, if we sleep, Lord, things will pass us by and we'll miss, or we choose not to be involved. Lord, quicken in the heart of all pastors to understand clearly that the gospel penetrates every area of our life and particular government. So help us, Lord, that we may be good stewards of the opportunity and the position that you've placed us in. Bless this gathering today and this discussion. Open our minds and give us wisdom and knowledge, and those that hear it, that it may lodge on fertile ground. Thank you for those that will participate and have part today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Tom. And for the new listeners that joining us, I'm going to go ahead and let our guests introduce themselves. If you don't mind, Mr. Lou, if you will start, Lou, and then introduce your friend too, or he can introduce himself.
Okay, that sounds fine. Thank you so much for having us today. My name is Dr. Lou Camponosi. I'm a retired Marine, Gulf War veteran. I'm an adjunct professor at Tulane University, and I will actually be teaching at the University of Mobile in the fall. I'll beginning to work with them. I would like to introduce Dr. Joe Savage, who already is at the University of Mobile, and I'll let him explain what he does there. Joe?
Well, I'm the as of last May, we created the Center for Leadership. I'm the director for that program and that department, and then also head up what's called the 1223 Movement, which is basically out of our university, but a grassroots effort to help our nation find its way back to God. And so it's not just within our student body and our graduates, but also I do most of my work outside the university with conferences and speaking and a lot of writing and that sort of thing.
Oh, well, thank you, Joe. If you don't mind, I'll call you Joe and I'll call you Lou.
Sure.
Well, it's really great to have you all with Pastor Tom. And did I understand, Joe, that you are a pastor?
I've been in ministry for 20 years, and then I was a senior pastor for 10-plus years and moved into evangelism, and now I'm at the university. But I'm also an interim pastor over in Baldwin County. So I do those kind of things. That's my Sunday ministry at this point is in the local church. And then primarily I work with pastors really across the nation the rest of the week.
Wow.
Joe,
what a privilege. Joe,
this is Tom Anderson. I was on the Board of Regents for probably 5 or 6 years there in Mobile. And
okay.
Heard your name this past year and was glad I was there. It was my last year. And I'm rejoicing what God is doing there in Dr. Mark Foley and that school. I believe it can be a major player in what God wants to do in this nation.
Yeah, well, we want to do our part, and really the Lord laid this on Mark Foley's heart, that's the president there at UM, or here at UM,
right.
And then brought me on board to kind of give leadership to this project, and it's been really neat. From day one, you know, we said, can we go out and design our own plan and go and do this thing, but instead we said, let's go about this in a more biblical and different way. And so we've just really prayed and asked the Holy Spirit to breathe life into what we're doing and that Jesus be glorified in it and that we're going to walk with him. And it has been amazing to see the doors open and see this thing take off. So I'm honored to get to be a part of it every single day. It's a tremendous blessing.
Well, if y'all can go ahead and start and let us know. I know there's an upcoming event that you're very excited about, so if you want to go ahead and tell us about that, please do. Is it, would you like to talk about it, Lou, or Mr. go ahead.
Dr. Lou, you want this one or you want me to take it?
Let me just begin a little bit on it, and then I'll pass it on to you, okay, Joe? And Pastor
sure.
Tom, I really want to thank you for being here with us today. You know, when you talked about the Great Awakening and Wall Watchers, and this is part of what I think we're trying to do with our conference. The conference is Saturday, April 30th in Montgomery, and you know, this is the second one of our conferences along these lines. And basically, we really believe that our country certainly is in a crisis. Barbara mentioned it a little while ago in terms of decay. Well, this question about this moral crisis that we're in and how we can deal with it goes to the heart of the question about, and you mentioned it, what is the role of the pulpit? And so our feeling is that if we can, you know, bring this message of hope and educating our pastors as to how far they can go within the pulpit to deal with these questions that are moral in nature but also have a political connotation to them too. And so our feeling is that by bringing, you know, this kind of a conference to our pastors, we give them the tools that are necessary for them to go out and fight the good fight is basically what I think we're doing. And then I'll let Joe expand on that a little bit.
Yeah, and, you know, we've got some dynamic speakers, and some guys in Montgomery have put this together for the most part. They've done the legwork here, and it's flying under our banner as a sponsor. But Mark Foley's going to be speaking, the president of the University of Mobile. John Ed Matheson, the retired senior minister at Fraser Memorial United Methodist Church. John Killian, who's the pastor of Maytown Baptist, but he's also the first vice president of the Alabama Baptist State Convention. Another pastor named Cal Searcy, who's the pastor of Fresh Anointing House of Worship, which is hosting the event. And then we've got constitutional attorneys. We've got a motivational speaker. We've got Stephanie Bell, who's on the Alabama State Board of Education. K. Carl Smith from Birmingham, which is the Frederick Douglass movement. David Miller, who's with Apologetics Press, and myself. And then we've got our group Impact with Dr. Pete Sanchez under their direction is going to be leading worship that day. And, you know, it's a cross-denomination conference, in short, to help us engage our pastors, to encourage and inspire them to go out and really make a difference. You know, we've got to get outside of our walls if we're going to make a difference and win our country back. We have to. And Christ calls us to be salt and light. And so it's really fulfilling what Jesus has called us to do anyway. And so it's unique in the sense of being able to bring pastors together, cross denominational lines, to talk about a topic such as how do we restore our nation back to God. So I can't wait. It's going to be fantastic all day, April 30th. And the best part, it's free. Somebody's underwritten the cost of the whole thing, so pastors can come for free.
Don't mind, mention that website.
Well, they need to register online if they will. That helps us with the food and all, because we're feeding all the pastors for free. And it's open to anyone, any listener that wants to come can by all means attend. But they would go to www.1223.org, and let me spell that, T-W-E-L-V-E, so the word 12, and then the number 23.org. And if they can't find that, they can go to the University of Mobile, which is umobile.edu, and I'm sure it's linked over there. But they can go online to do that, or they can call us at 251-675-7551, and we can get them registered and ready to go. So all they got to do is walk in on Saturday morning, April 30th.
And he was asking, where is it going to be again? It's going to be in Montgomery, is that right?
That's right, at the Fresh Anointing House of Worship, which is really on the south side of Montgomery on Fleming Road. from 9 o'clock to 4 o'clock.
Wow, and that website again was 12, the word 12, and then the number 23, and then .org. And that phone number again for you listeners is area code 251-675-7551. And this is just really a wonderful thing. You know, we saw the end, I think, with the last election of something really new in Alabama, because I think it broke down, I don't know, Pastor Tom, was it 130 years? Of you know, one side having the state house of Alabama.
I think it's something like that. It is anyway. It was a turnaround, and we are already reaping dividends out of what happened to
them. Wow! And I've known Pastor Tom and Pastor John, the two brothers, and we have seen them. I know I've heard Pastor John talk about the many days that he has went to one church after another church, trying to really wake them up. And Pastor Tom has been so good to share with us so many stories, and God has laid changes in his heart. And so he's here with us every month. But we had titled today's show really about, you know, freedom from captivity, perspectives from pastors, and it's about really help for hurting families, especially military families. And I'm in Texas around the Fort Hood area. I just happened to be here to visit my relatives. And within 3 weeks of being here, I know somebody in the neighborhood that lost a father. He committed suicide. He did not want to go to Afghanistan. He was packing his bags, and he left a note to his wife saying, you know, come in the garage by yourself. And there he was, dead, you know, carbon monoxide poisoning. And ever since then, you know, that thought has just really haunted me of how our military is stressed on all sides. And post-traumatic stress and depression and suicide is at an all-time high in all the branches. I even saw an article that said 50,000 died from the Vietnam War, but 50,000 has also committed suicide. You know, I don't know if they were talking about particularly just the Vietnam War veterans or if that's a figure for all, but it's a horrendous amount. And so I'm going to go and switch into that mode and ask, well, first of all, let me ask Ms. Barbara her thoughts on this, I guess, before we get started.
Well, I'm just anxious to hear what our pastors say. I would say, though, that again, going back to that verse in James, you know, we pray for our troops, and but what more do we do? You know, we've got to be actively involved in influencing our congressmen, our congresspeople, to make sure those rules of engagement for our troops are protective and not harmful. And everything that involves the troops, they're our troops. They're our troops that are suffering, and their families that are suffering. And we've got to go beyond prayer, and we've got to be active in regard to influencing the policies regarding our military and military families. You know, we've got to apply what we learn from the Word of God, we've got to apply it and be active in this, as well as in every other policy. You know, God's people have the answers. They truly do, because God is the answer, and His wisdom, He gives us wisdom, and we've got to get that wisdom to those making policies and influence for our troops.
Yes, Ms. Barbara. And, you know, I thought, excuse me, Mr. Lou, when you had called me, Lou, that, you know, I thought, well, you know, we're just going to fit you in today because we have got to have the recording of your announcement on so that we can play it on the FM station that we air on Saturday. But, you know, this is no accident. I think this is God's timing, because you are a former Marine. And you can tell us firsthand, I'm sure, about post-traumatic stress and, you know, some of the things that that you and the military have to deal with. So let's start with that, Lou, if you don't mind painting a picture for us of what the struggles are being in the military.
Well, it's interesting that you should mention this, because about 3 weeks ago, I went to speak to a reserve battalion that's getting ready to deploy to Afghanistan. These were the professionals, the active duty folks who provide our reservists with the capability to run their battalions and get them ready to go. All of these folks had been, you know, either in Afghanistan or Iraq. And I think that one of the things that came out of that was this whole idea that, and it speaks to the whole question of the justice of particular wars, because if you're in a just war, then that speaks to your conscience, to your soul, to a very large degree. And so you have that issue that's there, and I would argue that at this particular juncture, and it's one of the things that I said to them, is that when we have an arbitrary date that we're going to start withdrawing our combat troops, which is this summer, July of 2011, and it's done for political purposes, then what you have done is undermined the whole commitment and the reason why you're there. And I suggested to these professionals that you are going to have a lot of difficulty in terms of dealing with the troops. You had the same problem in Vietnam after 1969 when Nixon started to withdraw people. There's a genuine question. Why am I risking my life for something that's essentially not important anymore? Not only is it a part of the problem that you have to deal with at the individual level, but from a leadership point, how do you ask people to sacrifice, you know, if there is no good reason for doing it? And so now let me just qualify this by saying I am in support of what we're doing in Afghanistan. I think it's important. This region can blow up, and if we see that the Taliban take over Pakistan, then our problems are going to be even worse than they are today what they were in 2001 before 9/11. So, again, the justice for this particular war, in my view, is there. And so that's an aspect of dealing with post-traumatic stress syndrome, in part because if you're involved in a war that's immoral and illegal, then automatically you have major problems to deal with. And I would argue that, to a certain degree, the politicization of the Vietnam War, and I teach a course on the Vietnam War. I'm not a Vietnam veteran, but I do teach a course on it. The real issue back home was the delegitimation of the war. You have not seen as much of that today in either Iraq or Afghanistan. But I would argue that, you know, given where we're going with moving in a direction to just get us out as quickly as possible, mainly because many of the people on the left don't want the war for a variety of reasons. They didn't want Iraq. They didn't want Afghanistan. There were people who started to talk about Afghanistan as a genocidal war. This is Noam Chomsky. A week after 9/11, he's talking about these things. So there is an undercurrent within the American left that just does not want to use force, doesn't see the utility of it, the moral necessity, et cetera, okay? Just war theory takes us in a different direction, though. We can use force to defend ourselves, and I think that that's the underlying, you know, essential ingredient that has kept, in many respects, this country together over fighting the war on terror. So given that, given the need that's there and the degree to which this is a just war, then I think that, that's an important ingredient in dealing with, you know, the troop issues in terms of, well, how am I, you know, why am I being asked to do this, and how should I, you know, react to it when my friends are dying, and getting into those kinds of questions. The underlying need, just as the underlying need in World War II was, essentially there. If you don't do this, if we don't sacrifice, if we don't win this war, then just as with the Japanese or with the Germans, then our country is at risk. And that to me is the argument that gives you the sustenance to go and do these kinds of things. That's the short answer for me.
Well, you're so right when you think about the statistics of the depression and the suicide rate. The most really shows up in the Vietnam War era veterans, and also, you know, when a person joins the military, it's not just them. it's really their families. It's their wives, their children. And Pastor Tom Anderson, I don't know how much you've dealt with problems of military families, but you know the problems of families all over, different kinds. Could you speak about that and how hard that must be?
Well, pastored one church for 30 years. You see people come and go. I don't think that there's going to be a single answer to all that we are dealing with, because I think a lot of things changed. For years and years, you know, we were not in much of a war, and then we were in war, and many people viewed military as a job, and so they went in, and even reserve was a way to serve, but back, you know, years ago, probably was never going to be called up. And then all of that has changed, and it's sort of like this wasn't really what I signed on for. So I think that brings to some weight to bear on what we're doing. But also I think just what you said, and that is the whole family is being disrupted. And the family is the, you know, we talk about the church, but the family is the foundation next to God in this nation. And even if you break up a family for peaceable reasons and one goes to one place to work, another to another, and they're separated for a year or so, that's traumatic. But when the life is put in danger of one of the family members, husband or wife, and then all the roles are shifted, they go to bed every night with stress, and particularly the one that thinks he or she is going into the line of fire. And they have seen their friends killed. They read the paper and they hear the news, and there's a lot of tension there that I really do believe that the church, as I said just a few minutes ago, I talked a long time to get to where I'm going. The church has to be the base, the faith that can stand with these men and women and help them to understand a little bit more about life and the cause. You know, when David saw the giant, and these guys are listening in, seen more than I have, David risked his life, but he said, is there not a cause? Well, if you're going to pull out in 6 months or 3 months, the men that's dying there, they're saying, well, what's the cause? But David knew there was a cause, and the cause was on the line, and he was willing to risk his life. The cause determines the commitment. And I think when you lessen the cause, if you say, well, it's not important, we can pull out in 6 months, it's political, or 3 months, then those folks are saying, we really don't have a cause. We're buying time. And somewhere we got to get back into these wars where we do believe we got a just cause, and then we tackle it to win and to win big. And I think that's going to stimulate in these men and ladies a commitment to do what they're going to need to do and do it with a freedom in their heart that live or die, whatever they do, that they're doing something right and strong.
Well, I agree with that, and I think that one of the things that I've seen is these college students that I've taught have joined the military with exactly that in mind, that this is a cause that they want to join in and go and fight for their country. And I think that that is one of the critical distinctions between now and what you saw with Vietnam. Although I have to say, you know, the Vietnam War has been completely misrepresented in many, many respects. And unfortunately, liberals have done this. But the fact of the matter is that many people went to Vietnam and volunteered for it. And I would argue probably about 150,000 professionals went back to Vietnam for two or three tours. You know, they weren't drafted. They went
there. That's right.
Having said that, this particular cause that we're fighting now is an existential threat. There is no question that these people, these Islamic jihadists, want to destroy us. And as such, you know, we have an absolute right to defend ourselves, and that cause is as just as anything that I've seen in the various history books that we've, you know, looked at in terms of other wars that we've been involved with. So I do think that is the, and I agree with Pastor Tom on that under the underpinning has to be the cause, and it has to be just, and that's where we are. Barbara, Diana, I had to tell you, I have another call that I have to make, so I'm going to have to depart. But I just wanted to say thank you all so much for including me at this point, and I certainly will be back up with you all again. And thank you so much for letting us, you know, get our time here to talk about our conference in on the 30th.
Well, it's
Amen.
My pleasure, and we'll have to have you in again. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ms. Barbara.
Lou?
Yes,
yes, ma'am. I wanted to tell you before you go now, on April 30th, that is such a historic day. It'll be 224 years ago on April 30th that George Washington raised his hand toward Almighty God in heaven, placed his other hand on the Bible, took the oath of office to become president of the United States, and he dedicated our country on that day,
Amen.
Our nation, to God. He added the word, so help me God, and he lifted the Bible to his lips, reverencing it, kissing it before the people and before
right.
our nation, and dedicated our nation to God on April 30th.
Thank you
God
for reminding
you.
Us, because we will certainly have to, you know, bring that to the fore when we're there on the 30th.
Yeah,
thank
we
you.
Sure will.
God bless you.
Thank you all so much. I have to go now, but thanks again. And Joe, you
oh,
and
God bless
have
you.
The conversation. Thank you again.
Well, Mr. Joe, I hope you can stay, and I hope you can give us your perspective. I know you have a passion, and that's why you've stepped up to do what you're doing.
We do, and it's you know, on the again, our whole emphasis in it's exciting to be a part of it is to help our nation. What can we do, our part? What is God's assignment for each of us to fulfill in bringing this nation back to Judeo-Christian principles, and more specifically to Jesus Christ? And, you know, we use the illustration oftentimes if it's like, a, you know, Alabama-Auburn is so big in this state for football, so we use that as an illustration of when an offense goes out and the receiver, and they call a play, every player has to do what the play has called them to do for it to be successful. So the receiver's running his route, and the tackle's blocking his player, the quarterback's fulfilling his role, and all of them have an assignment, even if they get the ball or don't get the ball. And it's the same thing with God. God gives each of us an assignment for us to go out and fulfill that assignment, whatever it is, and be responsible for that. And if we can just raise up and come together, certainly we can do that and make a significant difference in this generation. I don't think that we can wait till tomorrow. We got to start acting today.
Right.
Yes. Wow. Well, I'd like to food for thought. If y'all could give us food for thought for the wife that's sitting at home with a husband that is overseas in Iraq and Afghanistan, on how to help her husband when he comes back. What are some thoughts on some of the things that the woman or the wife or the spouse can do?
Well, I
day
think one, go ahead, Pastor Tom.
Day of Discovery has done a documentary on the Vietnam, and two of those guys that go back to Vietnam are now professors in seminaries, were not saved then. They came back with all the stress that can be imagined, and they have dealt with this so adequately. And so I would go online on Day of Discovery and definitely try to get my hands on that. I have a copy of those DVDs. They're out now. In fact, they're in the home of a man that is going through great stress, helicopter pilot, and still to this day, but we got to find a way just to get in there. Ever how it may be, a multitude of ways, you know, to get to that wife, to those children, as a church.
Mr. Savage?
Yeah. Well, I would add to what Pastor Tom said of, you know, patience, I mean, the fruit of the Spirit. And so I think the wife specifically can just pray, Lord, as she surrenders and submits to Jesus, of, Lord, help me to love my husband. Help me to be patient. Help me to be joyful. Help me to be long-suffering. Help me to be kind. And really, you know, it's the love covers a multitude of sins, so to speak, and when guys come home, they've got all kinds of things they've seen, heard, done, experienced, and then they're back to normalcy and or what is perceived to be normal. And it's like in any home, ultimately, love has got to be the ruling agent of the home. And so if that wife can simply be patient and try to bear the fruit of the Spirit in her own life, I think it would go a long way.
And Pastor Tom, what will be a word to the husband, to that spouse who is in the military? Because things affect us before we even know it. I mean, if they're here at home, what are some suggestions to help undergird them?
Are you talking about the husband of the wife that is in the military? I'm trying to sort out
the one that's in the military, you know, that may be going to be leaving for Afghanistan and Iraq,
okay,
and is feeling that stress, or you know, and doesn't know what to do.
I think to be able to maybe at least talk about, admit that to his wife. I think the fact that he can. You know, so many times he or she has to feel like they're really, really strong, and to admit any weakness is weakness. But to be able to verbalize, say something about talking about this, that will be at least very helpful. And explaining, if it is a wife, how he's feeling and why he's doing. The dear brother on a while ago talked about many going back. They have. Some older men have gone back, and you'd say, well, why are they going back? Well, they believe in what they're doing. And I think, again, you go back, why are you doing what you're doing? And he explains the cause. You know, there's a cause. And help her to at least understand his feelings and to be open and clear and communicating with her. And I'm taking it now from the man's point of view. And that would be true of the woman. So be very transparent, which is hard for us to do. You know, we're concerned. We're not iron men. We're not invincible, but we believe in what we're doing. And so he needs her, and she needs him to stand by him right now more than ever, even though there is some fear and pain. I think that will help.
And
demonstrating his faith. If he is a man of faith, she's a woman of faith, to demonstrate their faith to each other in a loving way, real but exercising faith in the grace of God.
Wow. Thank you, Pastor Tom. And Mr. Savage, would you like to add to that? Or?
I really don't. I think Pastor Tom has nailed it on the head there. And much like Lou a second ago, I've got to take off and run into this other meeting. But thank y'all so much for having us on. And again, it's the word 12, the number 23.org to sign up to open anybody for that conference on April the 30th. And thank you so much for enlightening me or at least bringing my attention to the George Washington. That's going to be fantastic for us to share with those guys on that day. And I'll probably send an email out about that that historical date. That's fantastic. So thank you. And Pastor Tom, it really, really is. And we obviously that was not in our plan, but the Lord seems to always have his way. And Pastor Tom, great to meet you. Thank you for your work here at the university in the past, and look forward to meeting you somewhere down the road.
I do. I'm looking at that date, and there's a good possibility I will be there. I appreciate God raising you up, and I just say to God be the glory, and may your testimony in life be multiplied thousands of times, not only on campus there, but off.
Well, thank you so much. And let me, if I can, one more thing that we're doing that may be of interest to some listeners is Dr. Farron Hollinger was the superintendent 30 years, superintendent of a couple of districts in Alabama, most recently Baldwin County, and he's volunteering with us in that he sends out a devotion every week through 1223 to public educators. And, you know, we say, well, you can't pray in school, you can't do this, Jesus has been taken out of the education area. But the truth is, every teacher who is a Christian is the hands and feet of Christ in the classroom.
Right.
And so Dr. Hollinger is writing an email of encouragement and inspiration every week to educators. And we've got teachers from 10 different states now. I think we're on our fifth week. And so there may be some teachers out there today or someone who knows a teacher that says, you know, they need to get encouraged every week, and they can sign up. We're the only people we know of that's doing something like this. And we've been very blessed to have someone of Dr. Hollinger's caliber who's joined us as a volunteer to write it. And so,
Hey, Joe?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. I wanted to say what an assignment God has given y'all on April 30th, that you're going to be reaching pastors who are the most influential in our world. They are able to reach the hearts and minds of people that we can't reach. And so what an incredible assignment from God that y'all are going to be participating in. And we will definitely be praying for y'all and just appreciate you so much.
Well, thank you so much. And we do love pastors. They're important. God has them there for a reason.
Right.
That's for sure. So,
thank you, anyway. Sir. And thank you for listening to the full counsel of God and not leaving any part of it out. God bless you,
well,
sir.
God bless y'all. Take care. Thank you.
Thank
Bye.
You. Thank
Good day,
you.
Brother.
Well, Pastor Tom, we still have you, thank God.
I am
but
right
Pastor
here.
Pastor Tom, I am so thankful that they got to come on. I think that was God's timing. You know, just
oh,
I just thought,
I'm,
well, I'm
delighted
men,
to hear these. Yeah, I'm delighted to hear these men's heart.
And to tell the truth, Pastor Tom, when you know, and I hear it with you, you know, if we really want to help have freedom from captivity, I think we have to listen to the full counsel of God, and he says to acknowledge him in all our ways, right? And you know, politics is not dirty. It's only, unfortunately, dirty to get in it, because the Christian doesn't step in a lot of times. But it's really, it can do a lot of good things if we have Christians that's listening to the Holy Spirit.
Well, I really think we're trying to overcome a 75-year deficit in church.
Yes.
And
yes.
What I'm trying to say is, I don't know how in the world anyone reading the Bible came to that conclusion, but basically what we reduced our movement to in the Christian faith was, how are we going to be saved and get to heaven? Well, that's wonderful. And I'm excited about going to heaven, but I've lived a lot of years in between. And we fail to get into the hearts of people that every area, and particular politics, is critical to the life of Christianity. We're sitting here today and we got abortion because Christians didn't get involved in politics. We're sitting
That's
here
right.
today and we're seeing homosexuality flaunt itself, and it is ungodly because Christians will just, well, we don't want to cause no trouble. We just kind of go along. And I could name, alcohol, drugs, gambling, pornography. Christians just didn't get up and stand in the gap. And so the great problem is for the church to get up and stand clearly and give a sound, clear voice of who they are, what they're about, and not be afraid. When I was in this thing with this gambling thing, a very influential man of God, I wouldn't say a man of God, but at least in a very denominational position, he said to me, Brother Tom, there are a lot of people who don't like you. And I said to him, they should not like me. I don't stand for what they stand for. Now, if you got to have people to like you, you're never going to do anything that's worth a dime. You're just going to be like you know, there's a lot of difference between a thermometer and a thermostat. You hear me?
What's that?
A thermostat. A thermometer just tells you the temperature. A thermostat changes it.
Yeah.
You got it?
Yeah.
I think y'all got that yet.
I think I got it.
Good. Yeah. And as long as we're just going to be a thermometer, we just go around telling, you know, it's 75 degrees, who cares? I mean, is that 75? But when you walk into a situation and said, it ain't going to be this way 2 years from now, we're going to change some things. Well, you can't expect everybody to rise up and call you blessed. Because it
didn't
get
that
way. Action. I'm talking about putting action. I'm talking about James. James
That's
said,
right.
Faith without works is dead.
That's it. And Pastor
you can,
Tom, Ms. Barbara, isn't it truly love, sacrificial love in a way? I mean, Jesus Christ gave us all. We're going to celebrate that this weekend. I mean, if you, you know, he wasn't worried about the Pharisees and the Sadducees.
Well, we were birthed through suffering.
Yes.
Our spiritual
yes,
birth came through suffering.
That's right.
Swimming upstream. And I think we're going to go forward. If we, the Bible says if you live godly, you will suffer. So since I'm going to suffer, why not suffer for good and not bad?
I like that.
You know, that's a good analogy about the we're birthed through suffering. And life comes from that relationship with God, you know, it births life. But Jesus said, you know, greater love hath no man than he lay down his life for his friends. That's suffering.
That's suffering.
You know, and the things that we're commanded to do involve suffering. It involve action. And, you know, that passage in James just really, I saw it in everything that you said, Pastor Tom, about abortion, about homosexuality, about the things that we see going on, prayer being removed from our children in public schools and the Bibles, the Ten Commandments being stripped, everything, all these changes that we see. And you said if Christians had been active, that wouldn't have happened. That's absolutely right.
No, it wouldn't.
But
Barbara,
what we've done is we have
Tom,
said.
I'm sorry. Oh, Ms. Barbara, I'm sorry. I hate to break in, but I think we have a guest. Is this Pastor Towers?
Hold on just a second. I'm on the radio.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
Hi, Pastor Towers. How are you?
I'm very well. Who are you and who am I talking to?
This is Diana Cruz on the radio show, and we've got Ms. Barbara on here with us and Pastor Tom Anderson. I hope we've not caught you. I hope this is all right with you for you to be on the air with us.
I did. I just wanted to hear your voice.
Okay.
To whom are we talking
Pastor
to?
Tom. We
this
have
is
got
Jimmy
Pastor
Towers.
Jimmy Towers.
That's the Lifeway Fellowship in Killeen, Texas.
Lifeway.
Isn't that awesome, Pastor Tom? Lifeway.
That's
all
correct.
Right. Not Lifeway with Southern Baptist, but Lifeway Fellowship.
Well, as a matter of fact, it's coincidentally we are Southern Baptist. We just don't act like it.
Well, now that depends on who you're talking about, my friend. You can find all kind in there. All right,
absolutely.
Good.
Well, Ms. Barbara, I'm going to go ahead and let Pastor Jimmy, if you don't mind. Pastor Jimmy, we're talking. We start off really wanting to talk about, you know, helping military families with, you know, that are hurting with depression, and some of them have lost a loved one through suicide. But we had also earlier had a gentleman that was talking about, you know, it's time to wake up the body of Christ and about a pastor's conference. But anyway, the timing just worked out because one of them was a pastor and the other guy was a former Marine. So he shared, and one of the things that he shared with that Pastor Tom agrees with was, you know, the men have got to fight for a cause. And, you know, that's one of the reasons they think they've seen that the Vietnam War Bureau of Veterans, you know, we see the statistics, 50,000 have died from the war. But 50,000 have died from suicide. And what are your thoughts, Pastor Towers, on what can help a young man that is dealing with depression to the point of suicidal thoughts?
Well, first of all, let me explain to you that the church that I pastor is next to the largest military installation in the world, Fort Hood, and so I deal with both of those questions. I deal with
right.
the issue of the war and after-war effects, Just had a couple in my office a little while ago dealing with traumatic stress syndrome. The issue of suicide, I think, is regardless of whether you're dealing with military or you're dealing with just general public, is a feeling of self-worth or a lack of self-worth. And I'm not so naive as to believe that it doesn't happen to believers, because, of course, it does. I know that
That's
by
right.
experience. I've dealt with several suicide situations. I've dealt with several that came to me and expecting to commit suicide, anticipating, really looking for permission to commit suicide, and I don't have the authority to give that kind of permission. There have been some where I felt like I've had a positive experience and some that have gone away and committed suicide. The answer to the question is it's an individual and personal dilemma, although it obviously has ramifications that affect society.
What are the,
so the
some
silence
of the
on your
that,
end means I probably didn't answer the question the way you wanted me to.
Well, if someone's listening to us, Pastor Towers, right now, and has been depressed, what would you suggest that they need? Some of the things that they need to do to help them.
I think the basic issue is to have somebody that you have confidence and trust. Faith in that you can talk to. Obviously, I believe that you can talk to God, but that depends on the individual, whether they think you can or not, whether they have a sense of faith to know that they have a base of communication with the eternal. But on the other hand, if there is another hand, just having somebody that you can sit down and talk with, somebody who's non-judgmental, somebody who doesn't try to bring up the flaws and dilemmas. You know, one of my favorite phrases is that suicide is a permanent response to a short-term problem. But that doesn't solve their problem. That, you know, helping them deal with the short-term problem, the thing that's causing them to feel that insecurity, that depression, that discouragement. Many times people talk about suicide when they're really just looking for encouragement. They really have no intent. And it's not really the role of the counselor to try and figure out what their, you know, how serious they are about the issue. The real issue in counseling is to listen to what the person's basic issues are. You know, I just got through talking with this young couple that were arguing over who's going to clean up the dog mess in the yard. That's not the problem. That wasn't the problem in their marriage. It was something deeper than that. And so finding a way to get into whatever that deeper is, and again, without being judgmental, but being helpful, and then begin to give some direction. You know, I believe very strongly in professional counseling. I prefer it to be Christ-based counseling, but the human spirit is dealt with in a singular way. Whether an individual has faith or not, the makeup of the human being is the same. So. You've got to deal with the individual. That's really what it amounts to.
Pastor Tom, is there a comment you'd like to add or say to Pastor Towers?
I just think that I think exactly everything he said is right on the money. I think the church is going to have to be activated, and primarily, and he can give me some feedback on that, is this is going to be a ministry for ladies to be able to reach out to ladies, because most of the people in military are men, and I'm not saying that's totally, but I'm just saying most of them. And men can't minister to another man's wife too well. That's a danger zone, and I'm speaking very carefully. But you can build some cell groups where these godly women can invest and give, you know, sometimes just having a place to retreat to and someone to talk with, cup of coffee and just Bible study, prayer meeting, and just being with, a trip to the mall or whatever, riding with them to a little league ball or whatever, just including these ladies left behind, and these men that are suffering need a friend. They you know, a lot of times they just need a, you know, I said years ago and heard this, not original to me, this man went forward and said, you know, the pastor was telling him, he joined the church, and he was telling him how friendly the church was. He said, I'm really not looking for a friendly church. I'm looking for a friend. And I think that speaks volumes. We can shake the hand and pat them on the back when they join, but can you take them home for lunch or out for lunch and build a relationship? And I think this is what we got to do, is build relationships. Will we stop all suicide? No. But can we make a difference? Yes. And what do you think,
oh,
Brother
yeah.
Tower?
Oh, I think we just lost him, Pastor Tom. Sorry about that.
Okay.
Well, Pastor Tom, I heard something, I read a remark from a Nate Self, who was a guest of honor by George Bush at the 2003 State of the Union address. He had received the Purple Heart, and a year later, though, he tried to commit suicide. He had post-traumatic stress. But he had written, he had said in an article something to the effect that, you know, the VA hospital can't fix you, you know, counseling can't fix you. And he says the greatest resource you have is really Jesus Christ, and don't overlook it. But he had started a ministry around that church that he attended, and he said one of the things that he tries to do is to have breakfast with a young, you know, the military soldier that comes home from Iraq or Afghanistan, to let them know that someone cares. Just, you know, a simple breakfast with them. And I'm thinking that probably means so very much. It's like you said,
oh, I do too.
Build some kind of relationship.
A fishing trip, a ball game, being a breakfast with, a conversation. I'll sit with you in Sunday school if you'll go. It's just, you got to look for opportunities and make them.
Oh, yes. And I think it's, I like what you said, though, because me and Ms. Barbara, I've been talking to Ms. Barbara about that, Pastor Tom, exactly what you said. You know, women will talk to each other. And if you have a women's group where they are meeting, there might be something, and I see Pastor Tyworth has joined us back, where they can come together and talk. Hi, Pastor Jimmy. I'm sorry. You got
That's
cut
all right.
Off.
As soon as I said I agree with Pastor Tom, you cut me off. That's that tells me something. I was going to say his preaching style and my preaching style are probably different in this respect. What he said was very eloquent and very expansive. Mine would be a simple word, relationship.
Yeah.
I think that's exactly that's what people are looking for. It's what we're looking for in as we relate to God. That's what we're looking for as we relate to other people. And building the relationships before there is a crisis, before there is a depression, before there is a personal conflict, goes a long ways to having a base, a support system by which people can turn, people they can trust. And that comes as a result of intimacy, and by intimacy I mean getting deeper than just a how are you relationship, but a very personal intimate relationship.
Well, Pastor Towers and Pastor Tom, I saw an article where it was saying that really, you know, the statistics being so high in all the branches of the military as far as suicide, it's like the canary. It's just really sending a signal. As of yet, they did not have the figures for what the nation's average has, but they have, of course, it seems to them that this is just a sign. It's really worse because all families are really getting pressed everywhere, and the military families is very pressed when we talk about the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and all these things that are coming upon them. I can just imagine how hard it must be.
It's extremely difficult. However, I would be concerned to place the onus on the cause for suicide within the military as being exclusively, and I don't hear anybody doing that, but to believe that it's exclusively the result of being in the military. I think the military is just a culture. We have 50,000 soldiers in Fort Hood when they're all home at one time, which, of course, they haven't all been home in quite a while. So if you take the percentage of suicides within that 50,000 community and relate it to suicide in other communities around the United States, I would think it's pretty low. Percentage-wise, it's extremely low. So there has to be a positive effect, and that is that there's something good going on that's helping people in stress situations deal with it. So I think the issue of suicide is really starts with a personal issue, and the issue of depression starts with a personal issue, and then the culture, the environment they're in, whether it's in the Army or whether in the pastorate. It's the person that has the issue, not the culture that they're in. The culture they're in may put stressors, and certainly does. But I think you have to start with the individual first.
I agree with that. I agree. I think some of these. I want to just follow up on that. I think some of these people, if you could do it, that take their lives, that have been in military, if you had put them in some other field, might have taken the same route.
Yeah, that's my point.
That is, and I agree with that because, you know, the financial world, if you look at everything and you watch enough news, you're going to have a cast iron mind. You're going to get all of us wrestle with how can we get out of this mess? How can we work through it? How can we fix it? And then we know God can fix it.
And God can. Unfortunately, I think, and I don't want to put a black mark on any church, but I think the truth is sometimes churches have contributed more stress on individuals than even the culture has. We set high standards because God sets high standards. We are pretty adamant about, I say we, I'm talking about just my part that I play in the whole church
team. I'm listening.
Is we put high expectations on people, and sometimes we fail to look in the mirror and see that we're not reaching much as far as expectations. We're part of that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God business. And I would hate to be a part of a spiritual involvement which drove people away from God because the church didn't meet needs that need to be met. We had a situation in our community where one of the leading churches sold their downtown building and relocated out of town, and our city bought the downtown building. And so the paper continued to have articles about the church. And so I finally wrote a letter to the editor and reminded them that the church is not a building. The church is people. And
right.
Regardless of where they meet and regardless of what their environment is. So we have to distinguish between church as a culture and church as an experience.
I'm trying to deal with an issue. And, Pastor, I want you to listen in on this and the rest of them also. I'm listening to what I've preached. I've listened to what others have preached. And I believe in holy living and dying to self as much as anyone. But I also believe that many preachers and churches are trying to get their people to accomplish what Jesus accomplished for us on the cross. What we need to do is understand that we are forgiven, we are free, we're accepted in the beloved, and begin to live from that rather than spending our life trying to live up to it.
Well, I was pleased with the fact that you said you've listened to some of your sermons. I think that sets you apart from a lot of pastors. The second thing is I agree with you. Jesus has paid the price, so there's
That's
no
right,
reason
he's paid.
To try and do that. However, we are charged with the responsibility of living as if that price has been paid.
I agree
that
with that.
That has to do with forgiveness, forgiving ourselves, forgiving others that are around us. I just visited with this young couple and gave them this simple mathematical principle. I learned this in the seventh grade, and it goes like this. When two individual points each draw closer to a single point, they by nature draw closer to each other. And
that's
the,
right.
And the interpretation of that for them was that if you start focusing upon God and quit focusing on the problems that each other are presenting to the relationship, the chances of your survival are better. So how are you feeling like this experience that you are being a part of a talk radio experience is having any effect at all other than us just listening to each other?
Well,
wow.
I don't know. I could ask that, and it's sort of like I've been going to the Haven, which is a drug and alcohol rehab out here for 32 years. I go once a month, and I always tell them if I get to Heaven and found out I just had some good success with one person, I feel like a winner. So I don't have to have a house full no more. Now, if two or three people will hear it and get a hold of it, and we can trouble the waters a little, we're good.
Wow. Well, Pastor Tom, we appreciate you. You've troubled the waters in Alabama, and thank God Alabama has changed 130 years, I think, of bondage.
I do, too.
Freed. We've got a new leaf in Alabama, and I think Texas Texas is doing great. We've got some great people here in Texas. I've met some of them, and I think they're trying to keep Texas as straight as possible. But, Ms. Barbara, do you have some words to add?
I have appreciated so much the conversation today and have learned from it. And in talking about relationship, that's what life is all about, relationship with the Lord and relationship with one another. It takes time and it takes communication. And I think all of us could benefit from learning how to communicate better. I know that's my desire, to learn to listen better to others and to really hear what they're saying. Sometimes what we say is not what other people hear. And so we have to check and say, you know, what I hear you saying this, is that what you meant? You know, is that what you mean? And so I think we need to do everything we can to learn to communicate better so that our relationships will be better. And what you said, Pastor Jimmy, about the point, and as we're drawing to the Lord, we're going to be drawing to one another. That is so beautiful and so right. And I just appreciate this time on the radio show, and thank you so much.
Well, I appreciate that. I was just thinking, as a closing word for me, yesterday I listened to Pastor T.D. Jakes, the great black pastor from Dallas, talk about the Jesus' triumphal entry, and he started with talking about Jesus sending the disciples in to loose the animal that he would ride. And his point, he made several outstanding points, but his point was, until we are loosed by the Lord, we'll never really understand our full potential.
That's right.
Amen.
That's exactly right. And I'll take that one step further. We are loosed by the Lord. We must recognize we loose from the Lord.
Amen. That's good.
We are more than conquerors right now. That's biblical. Until we appropriate that,
yes, indeed.
Brother, we in a mess. There are people living in spiritual poverty, and they are rich in Christ.
You know, my favorite verse in the Bible, and there are a lot of my favorite verses, my congregation tells me, but my favorite verse in the Bible says that if God's people, not the pagans of the world, not the distaff of the world, not the atheists of the world, but if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. And when believers begin to focus upon our responsibility rather than trying to force the world to fit our mold, I think we'll have a better chance of being the victors that God intends for us to be.
I wish I could come to your church.
You can. We meet at 8, 9, 10:30 on Sunday morning.
Amen.
I have to fly to Texas.
In Killeen, Texas.
Wow.
And the sermons are short, so everybody likes that.
Well, in closing, we have went over our time, but it's always so good to talk with pastors. And in closing, Pastor Jimmy, if you don't mind, close us in prayer. And I just want to just thank you for this opportunity. Thank you, Pastor Tom, for
You're
everything
welcome.
You do also, and Ms. Barbara. And, you know, I just think of the military families and, well, not just military families, all families. When you see that the latest that ABC can put out is, you know, the teenage life of an American, you know, teenager, you know, 16-year-old having a baby. That's what's being shown to our culture, to our children. Parents are asleep on what their children are watching. You know, please pray for our nation, Pastor Towers.
Thank you for the privilege. Dear Father, I begin my prayer by asking you this question. What is your agenda for our lives?
Amen.
Forgive us when we set our agenda first. And I do pray for our nation. I pray for our leadership. I pray for decision makers. I pray for those who stand in harm's way, and pray that you'll give them a protective device spiritually, that they might focus their attention upon things above rather than just things on the earth. And I pray for their families. I pray for a peace that passes all understanding for their families as they feel the same tension, the same grief. I pray for any individual who might be listening to this broadcast right now who needs to turn to a loving, forgiving, wonderful God who gives us grace for our needs. And I thank you for this program and for these who lead it. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you all, and thank you, listeners. Oh, may God bless y'all, and may God shine his face upon you. Thank you for listening to City on the Hill Radio Show. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
You have been listening to the radio program, A City on a Hill, promoting the Christian biblical worldview. May God bless you richly as you serve the Lord.